The Chinese government's official position on the invasion of Ukraine is that it is not a invasion.
I'm Annie Reese. This is Politico Dispatch.
Hi, my name's Phelim Khan, and I'm the D.C.-based China correspondent at Politico.
So far, the Chinese government has made it clear that it will remain a strategic ally of Russia, despite President Vladimir Putin being viewed globally as the aggressor in the war in Ukraine.
We are going to see increasing pressure on China to step up and to, if not assist with the sanctions regime against Russia, at the very least not undermine it.
The sanctions against Russia have been punishing, but China could step in to alleviate economic pressure on Russia, something the West does not want. So a bill was launched on Monday on the Hill,
which specifically seeks to target China and to curtail its capacity and its role as that supplier and buyer of last resort for the Russian government.
Today, Phelim Khan on China's role in this increasingly global conflict and why China might see a strategic advantage in Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
The Russian invasion of Ukraine is complicated for China in that they are an avowed international advocate of the sovereignty of nations. However, they also see that an invasion of Ukraine is going to divert U.S. and NATO focus and resources from the Indo-Pacific region. Mm-hmm. So they see this Ukraine invasion is a way of sort of taking the heat off of China in the Indo-Pacific, which is a win for them because the Indo-Pacific strategy is very concerning for the Chinese government because they perceive it as a form of containment.
So I want to go back to early February with you. There was a Western intelligence report that I think said that Putin told Xi that he wouldn't invade until after the Olympics. So what did Xi know and when did he know it in terms of an invasion?
Yeah, what did Xi know and when did he know it is really the 100 million ruble question. Because, you know, we don't know. There are reports that there was at least a wink and a nod. And of course, you mentioned the fact that there was a report from a Beijing-based diplomat that Putin had mooted this upcoming invasion. And the deal between he and Xi was don't do it during the Olympics. And of course, you know, the timing of the invasion happened following the Olympics. What we do know is, and it's illustrative, is that the Chinese have really been caught flat-footed in terms of how this invasion has unfolded. Hmm. They're torn in terms of how they present themselves. They have this strategic alliance with Russia. At the same time, it's very bad optics for China being this standard bearer of sovereignty and the rights of states to be standing shoulder to shoulder with a Russian regime that's, you know, rolling tanks and artillery across Ukraine.
Yeah. Can you talk more about that? Like, how would you characterize the relationship between China and Russia right now? They've been very friendly.
China and Russia have a complicated relationship. They fought a border war in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. There is very deep reservoirs of mutual distrust. However, you know, over the last 10 years, particularly since Xi Jinping became chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, he has really deepened his ties with Putin's Russia. And clearly, they are both sort of adopting that sort of Russian maxim of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mm. And they both see a strategic alliance between China and Russia as a way to offset the U.S. and essentially the international community's emphasis on an international order that is based on international law and respect for universal human rights. It's clear that both Putin and Xi see this as a challenge to their own autocratic systems.
See the West's like huge sanctions against Russia as a challenge to their autocratic systems?
Well, you know, the sanctions regime is another complication for China in the sense that, you know, the sanctions are crushing Russia's economy.
Yeah.
However, what we see is that as China did in 2014, when Russia invaded Crimea, China is the buyer and supplier of last resort for the Putin regime. And it's continuing on that in that way in this current situation. So we saw that just ahead of the invasion, China inked a deal with Russia to buy 100 million tons of coal. Within 24 hours of the actual invasion, China opened up its markets to all Russian wheat. And we have seen a little bit of reticence in terms of Chinese state banks indicating that they won't be providing as much credit for Russian commodity purchases. Mm-hmm. But the messaging from China's foreign ministry and foreign minister Wang Yi as of Monday was that this is a relationship, that this friendship is rock solid. Mm. And one thing the Chinese are not doing is they are not criticizing the Russians. They are not criticizing the Russian invasion. They are not asking for a cessation of hostilities. And perversely, when the invasion started, the Chinese foreign ministry blamed the United States for the beginning of hostilities. So it tells you something about their settings and, again, how complicated it is for them.
That's interesting. So how much power do they have to help prop up the Russian economy?
You know, China has a lot of power. China is Russia's number one bilateral trade partner. It's an arrangement that obviously it's mutually beneficial. Mm-hmm. China buys, you know, a lot of fossil fuels from Russia. So if it were to adopt a posture like the United States government is in the process of doing, of stopping those imports of gas and oil from Russia, that would have a profoundly negative impact on the Russian economy.
I want to talk more about this messaging dance that China's walking. Like, so, you know, you said that the relationship between China and Russia is rock solid, but in late February, China abstained from voting on the UN Security Council resolution condemning the Russian invasion of Ukraine in a move that was seen as sort of a diplomatic win for the West. How big a deal was that really?
Well, clearly an abstention is a slightly more sort of moral position for the Chinese government to be taking. It's not a vote in favor of that proposition. So it tells you that they're hedging. This is diplomatic hedging. Mm-hmm. So what that tells us is that they are going to maintain as long as possible a position of ambiguity, in the sense of calling for negotiations, mm-hmm. calling for a diplomatic end to this crisis, but without going one step and saying, you know, hostilities must cease, the invasion needs to end. And until that happens, we're going to see this symbiotic relationship continue in terms of China being this buyer and supplier of last resort. And this will continue unless this conflict really becomes so horrible, so ugly, such a civilian life waster that even the Chinese government feels that it will need to take a stronger position and actually criticize this strategic partner and ally of the Russian government, of Vladimir Putin. But we're not there yet, but we'll see where we are in the next, you know, in the coming days and weeks.
Hmm. As our China watcher, has China's reaction so far in any of this been a surprise to you?
I think what's been surprising is that it looks like they were surprised. And I think that goes back to what did Xi know and when did he know it? But, you know, as of the day of the invasion, you had Chinese foreign ministry spokesman Hua Chunying say that, you know, the Russians have said that they will not launch airstrikes or missile strikes against cities. They basically sort of painting this picture of something that was going to be implicitly something that was going to be quick, strategic, and done. And the fact that that has not happened, that this is really dragging out and bogging down into this kind of war of attrition that's become, you know, this first major land war in Europe since 1945. Mm-hmm. I think the Chinese are the Chinese foreign ministry, the Chinese government, that has taken them by surprise. Whatever they were told, if they were told something, they were not told that this was going to be like this. But because they have you know, thrown in their lot with Putin, they're kind of stuck.
So in terms of them being stuck, even if China feels boxed into a corner, we know it's probably not good for Russia that their relationship is being tested. So I guess my question is, how much influence does China have really on a possible outcome here?
You know, China has untested influence in terms of if it's willing to turn off the taps in terms of what it supplies to Russia and what it buys to Russia. That will add significantly to the economic pressure that Western sanctions are inflicting on the Russian economy. Now, whether that is enough to really change the mind of Vladimir Putin, that's another calculus. So it's untested. You know, this is someone who has decided that he, as in Vladimir Putin, can and should launch the world's, you know, the first major land war in Europe, complete with artillery barrages, tank columns. He's gone for broke so far, and it's not clear to me whether the extent to how vulnerable or susceptible he is to outside influence of any kind. But I think the key point is that China has yet to apply any of that outside influence. And so that's really what, you know, everyone agrees that's what's necessary in this moment.
Necessary, but probably unlikely.
Necessary, but unlikely up until this point, because everything about this invasion, everything about this situation is near unprecedented. So We're really in military and diplomatic terra nova. And so depending on how this war intensifies, how it gets worse, what Putin's positioning is in terms of scaling back, we don't know where we're going to be tomorrow, let alone next week. So I think we got to sit back and see what happens.
Philem Kine, it's always so good to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
Also in the news, President Joe Biden will sign an executive order to develop a sweeping plan to oversee cryptocurrencies, including whether the U.S. should issue a fully virtual version of the dollar. The potential arrival of a digital dollar would have significant consequences for global payment systems, domestic commerce, and the banking industry. And in Florida, the Parental Rights in Education Bill, dubbed the Don't Say Gay Bill by LGBTQ activists, was passed by the state's Senate and House. The bill would limit what classrooms can teach about sexual orientation and gender identity. Today's episode of Politico Dispatch included music composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Be sure to follow Politico Dispatch if you haven't yet, and if you can, leave us a rating and review. It helps more people find the show. I'm Annie Reese. Thanks so much for listening.